Nearly half of homeless veterans served during the Vietnam era. Two-thirds served for at least several years, and a third were stationed in a war zone. About 1.4 million other veterans, meanwhile, are considered at risk for homelessness due to poverty, a lack of support networks, poor living conditions, and overcrowded or substandard housing. Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin is addressing homelessness with the opening of its Tiny House Project. Jeff Gusten is co-founder and executive director of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, take us first to your tiny home village. Tell us what your organization has built.
Well, we've built a village of 15 tiny homes that are on the same grounds as a community center. Each tiny home is for single occupancy, and the best way to understand it would be to think of our tiny homes as a bedroom and the community center as the rest of our house. What we did was we left certain amenities out of the tiny homes. There's no running water and there's no cooking permitted in the homes. That's all reserved for inside the community center. And the reason we did that is we didn't want to leave enough things in our tiny houses for a homeless veteran to move in and be able to isolate themselves. By leaving them services out, they have to frequent the community center in hopes that they will be socializing and participating in the program, you know, at their own comfort level.
And at this point, then, are veterans applying to be in these homes?
Yes. Last Sunday, we did the ribbon-cutting ceremony. We wanted the public to be able to see what we've built with their help before we moved in residence. And we've been taking applications this week, and we'll be doing some interviews and screening next week. And hopefully, by the end of next week, we'll start placing our first five residents.
How long do the veterans live in these homes?
There's no time limit to this program, and that's what it is. It's a homeless recovery program. We would like to do it within 2 years, but as long as the resident is working positively towards the end goal of financial security and their own permanent housing, we'll work with them as long as that takes to happen.
Did you model this village after another one around the country? How did this idea come to be?
Not any one specific village around the country. We took ideas from multiple different programs out there to what we think is going to work best here. It was just, we were getting phone calls weekly from homeless veterans that had exhausted other resources, and our organization felt we needed to step up and do something about it.
Do you see yourself building more of these homes, or are you going to start with the 15 and see what happens?
We're going to start with the 15, see how that goes. We know the need is greater than 15, but right now, the size of our organization, that is what we feel we can successfully case manage.
What is the state of homelessness for veterans in Wisconsin? Tell us about it.
There's no way to get a real number on that. We work with a lot of veterans that identify as homeless. When somebody says homeless, the first thing you think of is somebody sleeping out on the elements. But also those who are in shelters, they're still considered homeless. The largest demographic of homeless veteran is homeless by definition. They may not have ever spent a night out on the streets, but they don't know where they're going to stay tomorrow. They're bouncing from couch to couch, house to house, and it's very hard to recover and get back on your feet when you don't know where you're going to lay your head the next day.
How are veterans getting into this position in the first place? What is leading them to this?
Well, veterans, you know, they're susceptible to the same problems that civilians have, but then they also have the added problems where there may be combat-related PTSD, service-connected injuries that cause disability. It's tough everywhere right now, and we feel that if somebody was brave enough to serve their country, that they've earned and deserve a hand up, you know, getting back on their feet.
And how does a veteran go about getting one of these tiny homes?
All they have to do is stop in by us and fill out an application. They have to bring in a veteran ID card or a DD-214 to prove that they are a veteran. If they don't have either one of those, we can get that verified also. It just takes a little bit longer. And then they fill out an application, they'll do a background check, and then they'll be invited back to learn more about the program to see if it's something they're ready to get involved in. It's not just a roof over their head. It's a recovery program. We have a lot of services that are going to be offered there on the grounds that is going to be required of each resident.
And what services do you surround them with? What services are going to really improve their lives?
So we're going to do peer-led support groups for PTSD and AODA. We're going to have financial workshops.
Wait, AODA?
Alcohol and addiction problems.
Oh, okay, uh-huh.
We're doing financial workshops. We're going to bring in professionals to show them, teach them how to manage their money, work with a fixed income if that is the case. Veterans benefit searches, we're going to do that right there, make sure that they're getting everything they've earned through their time of service. We've partnered with the United Way, and they're going to come in and do life coaching, help them, you know, again, finance their money and job training skills, resume writing, mock interviews, things of that nature to help them get that job when they go to apply for it.
And it seems as if you're really focused also on the whole money issue, on how to live on a fixed income. Has affordable housing been an obstacle for veterans?
Yes, and that's one of the things we're going to help them search out at the end of the program is their own permanent, affordable, stable housing. We want to find something that matches their income, help them get in it, and then continue to help them stay in it.
We're with Jeff Gustin. He is co-founder and executive director of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. It's based in Racine. We're discussing the Tiny Houses Project that has opened just this week in Racine. You can join this conversation, 800-642-1234. What efforts would you like to see in place to reduce the number of homeless veterans? What programs have you seen work for you or a loved one? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jeff, in 2009, there was a huge push to eliminate homelessness among veterans, and it was an initiative that was spread across a number of years. Where are we with that? Have we reduced the number of homeless veterans?
Well, the reports say that the homeless veteran number has dropped. Again, that's a very hard thing to prove because if they don't come in for services or when they do a homeless count, if they don't state that they're a veteran or that they're homeless, you don't know. And then that count is all based on homeless veterans who are on the streets or in shelters. That doesn't have anything to do with the veterans who may be staying with relatives, friends, the ones that don't know where they're sleeping tomorrow but haven't slept on the street or haven't been on the streets at all. So to put an accurate number to it is very hard to do. Our organization here in Racine, we work as, I believe it's just over 30 that identify as homeless because they don't have a place of their own.
How has your organization really made an impact on homelessness among veterans? How have you seen it change lives?
Well, we're getting ready to open our veteran village just opened. We don't have residents yet. We just started the application process this week. But we also have a food and clothing pantry that we operate, and we distribute furniture to formerly homeless veterans. Again, we work with them on a regular basis. They come through our food pantry. They come for warm clothes, for summer clothes. And when they state that they're homeless and looking for help, we've always had to refer them to other agencies and hope that they're taken care of the way we would like to. Very shortly, we're going to be the ones that are taking care of them and making sure they're safe, secure, warm, and dry.
Outside of thanking veterans for their service, how else can community members help veterans identify and access programs that will improve their lives?
Listen to somebody that may be on the streets, what their needs would be. Kind of look around your community and see what local organizations are out there that could help somebody. Maybe the next person you talk to might be a homeless vet that doesn't know about a certain shelter or program that can help them get off the streets.
According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, about 11% of the adult homeless population are veterans. The majority of the country's homeless veterans are single. They live in urban areas. They suffer from mental illness, often alcohol or substance abuse. We're talking about the work being done to address homelessness and the help available for at-risk veterans. Jeff Gustin is with us. He's co-founder and executive director of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the tiny homes built for homeless veterans? Do you think the concept would work in your community? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll return after this news update. Stay with us. For 30 years, VA's programs for homeless veterans have emphasized collaboration with community service providers to help expand services to more veterans in crisis. One such organization is Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin, based in Racine. We're learning about its new tiny house village that opened up for at-risk veterans this week. Jeff Gustin is the founder of the organization. He stays with us. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you a veteran? What do you see as the challenges in housing? What type of housing programs would help veterans succeed? Are there laws or agencies that could help at-risk veterans find better housing? 800-642-1234. Jeff, forgive me if the pictures that I saw of these tiny houses are misleading me in any way, but are these homes on wheels?
No, we have one unit that's on wheels that we take around as a display and use as a fundraising tool. It's a lot easier to explain to somebody how you can live in an 8x16 if they're actually standing in it, you know, hearing how the program is going to work.
What materials go into these tiny homes?
Our homes are built by today's construction standards. They're no different than the houses you and I live in. They're just much smaller. They are all made to Wisconsin state building codes and local codes.
And they have windows?
Windows, doors, electric heat, window air conditioner for the summer. Again, that's the same standard that your house and my house was built by.
Tell us about the veteran the village is named for.
It's called the James A. Peterson Veteran Village. When we formed 3 years ago, we had a volunteer, his name was James Peterson, who was unbelievable. We could call him at any time for help. We almost had to close our doors at one time because things were so tough getting started, but he was the kind of guy you could call and come out, and he was a veteran, and he wanted to just help his fellow veterans. He was killed tragically a couple years ago on Father's Day by a drunk driver, and we wanted his family to know that he meant a lot to us, and we named the village after him.
Did James have struggles, too? Did he struggle from PTSD?
Yeah, he had struggles of his own, and I think that was one of the main reasons he volunteered with us so much, is that really helped him through to be able to give back to his fellow veterans.
Does that help for veterans who struggle from PTSD or other particular issues? Does that help you in your efforts to give services to veterans who are working through similar issues?
Yeah, I'm not a veteran myself, but I see it every day that, you know, they can come in, they can socialize and lean on each other because they've gone through the same experiences. Just the atmosphere that we've created, that's really relaxed, and, you know, everybody kind of knows everybody by name. Some of them, even when they come to our food pantry, there's a few that use our facility as a place to hang out and do stuff and feel like they're worth something.
How can communities tackle a tiny home project? For instance, if they would like to replicate what you have done there in Racine, how would you instruct them to get the first step? for a village?
First off, we would share any information that it took us to get started. The place we had to start was right at City Hall. We got our mayor on board. There was nothing on paper about this plan. It was just an idea in a couple people's heads until we met with the mayor. And then we brought his enthusiasm, and he hooked us up with the right people on the city level that we made this program and everything with them. Rather than presenting them with a package, they were a part of it because they had to look into the ordinances and be kind of creative because there's really no governing on tiny houses right now because they're so new. So most municipalities, their natural thing is to say no. We were lucky here in Racine where they didn't say no. They said yes, and they worked with us and helped us come up with a way to do it and made codes for it.
And in terms of where you put these homes, where is this village in Racine?
We're on the north side of Racine. We were very lucky to find a couple-acre lot that is right in the city. That's where we wanted to be. That's where most homeless men and women are. That's the comfort zone. We got very lucky. We're a half a block away from a bus line. We're walking distance to other resources. We have an ideal location for what we're doing here.
And it is then on your property where you can offer all of the services right there where you are based. Is that right?
Yeah, right out of our community center. And again, the community center is basically the other part of their house. So they're in the comfort of their own home receiving these services.
Did you find builders who were able to donate services, donate materials?
We found, yes. A lot of the materials were donated. All the labor for building the houses was volunteers. We would do community-style builds where there's times we had 30 to 40 volunteers there. Skilled tradesmen right down to high school kids and everything in between helping to build our houses.
How can people volunteer to help the issue of homelessness in Wisconsin? What would you say to people who want to help in some way?
There's organizations everywhere that are helping, you know, at multiple levels. Just look around in your community and see what's out there and do some volunteer time. We're an independent organization like so many, and we have very small staff, and we rely heavily on our volunteers to make our day-to-day operations happen. It's easy to give back. You just got to get out there and see what's in your neighborhood that you can help out with.
5 years from now, 10 years from now, where would you like to see the tiny home village? What would you like it to become, Jeff?
Well, ultimately, I'd like it to become not needed because that means that the homeless veteran problem is solved. That's probably not a reality, but that is our ultimate goal. It's hard to say where we're going to be in 5 years. Our big goal thing is to inspire other communities to do what we did. Our organization, with the size that we are, this is our comfort level right now that we know we can successfully case manage. But I would just like to see more communities step up and do something like this to help out the homeless veterans in their area.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Jeff Gustin is co-founder and executive director of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the new tiny home village in Racine, opened this week. It's helping at-risk and homeless veterans have a place of their own and a supportive community with services to get back on track. And veterans started this week applying to be in the tiny village, which is now numbers 15 tiny homes. That's in Racine. In 2009, the federal government announced the goal of ending homelessness among veterans. And from 2010 to 2016, the number of homeless veterans fell by roughly half. It's hard, as Jeff mentioned, to really put a figure on it. And this figure about falling by half, that's according to the National Housing Conference. To continue this discussion on housing for at-risk veterans, let's bring in Christopher Hansen. He's the president and CEO of Veterans Assistance Foundation Incorporated. It's based in Toma, and this organization provides a range of programs and services, including an emergency shelter and crisis services. And he also served in the Navy for 26 years, is currently a lieutenant who recently returned from Afghanistan after being deployed for 1 year. Christopher, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. So here we are. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Describe what this day means to you and how you plan to honor veterans and service members.
Well, it's kind of twofold for me. Obviously, running a veterans organization that I do, and also being a veteran myself, I look at it a little bit differently than I think those that haven't served. But the deep down, it's very important to us to stress to thank those that have served our country, but also to remember that many of those veterans have come back and fallen on hard times. Not all of us have roofs over our head and homes to live in. And so when I think about Veterans Day, again, it's twofold. I'm very thankful for those that have served, but I also think about those that are less fortunate and still need our help right now.
What do you see are the biggest barriers in housing for veterans?
Well, we have a lot of issues out there for homeless veterans, and that ranges from the expense of housing. Housing expense is probably the number one barrier. But we also have many of our veterans that are either homeless or at risk of homelessness that are battling either mental health or drug and alcohol issues. And with those issues often comes legal problems. And when you have somebody that has one or two legal ramifications on their record, that makes it even more difficult to try to secure housing from private landlords or from companies that own apartments. So it's very difficult once you go down that path to kind of correct yourself. And that's one of the reasons why companies like ourselves, VAF, and you have CBI in Milwaukee, there are other companies around the state. That's what we're here to help those in Wisconsin that may have fallen on those hard times and need a little help to get back on that track.
How have housing shelters for veterans helped bridge this gap in bridging between homelessness and really having a place to call home?
Well, and you really, I have to put it this way in the sense that we don't have a shelter. That term shelter implies that the doors are open to somebody coming in and off the street. We don't have that. We have three programs that we run with the state that veterans need to come in and apply to and qualify for. But a shelter gives that mindset that somebody could just walk off the streets, get a warm meal, a roof over their head, a hot shower. Unfortunately, there aren't those type of facilities around the state that are strictly for veterans. The shelters that we see around the state are more of an open population based facility.
Should there be shelters specifically for veterans? Do you see a need?
I see a need, but that's a good question because there's only so much money to go around, whether it's governmental grants or private donations. You know, just how specific, how niche do you want to get with that type of facility? As a veteran, I'd love to say yes. We do have many veterans out there that have a hard time living with or getting with people from other populations that aren't veterans. But I think there may be other facilities that can help those folks, whether it's through the VA system or private entities like ourselves.
Your organization, Veterans Assistance Foundation, you're based in Toma. How do you see housing, the landscape for housing around you where you are in Toma?
Well, it's varied quite a bit. We've depended on grants for so many years, and the federal government's going away from some of those grant programs, or they're shifting those monies. We ourselves recently lost a large grant, which has made it very difficult, so we've shifted strictly over to private funding for some of those resources. The need out there right now is for low-income, safe, quality housing. And when I say low income, it means, you know, lower rent, but they still need a quality house to live in. Usually when you see lower rent apartments out there, the quality level is not what you and I would hope for or expect. And one of the missions of our organization is to create or renovate apartments so we can turn around and rent those at a much lower rate than what's in the market.
Do you see programs like yours working? Are they making a difference? Are they making a dent?
They are making a dent, and they are making a difference. You know, and you've heard and you've mentioned these numbers about homelessness for veterans has gone down. That is true. That is true. But the whole point of what we're trying to do is to get to that true zero where no veteran is homeless. And that's a very, very lofty goal, very difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because we have veterans coming back every single day from overseas, from Iraq, from Afghanistan. As those wars continue on, we're generating new veterans every single day. So that population isn't shrinking, it's growing. So as veterans return and they're back for a certain period of time, if they're going to go down that path where they have life events that help them become homeless, help's the wrong word, but create homelessness for them, that population keeps growing. So we might, if we solve homelessness today, we'll have 5 new homeless people tomorrow. It's just, it's an ever-evolving situation.
How can people help the situation? We read the numbers. We watch whether things are going up or down or and new programs out there. But how can everyday people lend a hand in this environment?
Volunteer. Find an organization that works with veterans. Donate. If you're not familiar with organizations, research them. And I wouldn't necessarily use the internet because the internet can be twisted one way or the other. I would go by word of mouth, find out what organizations have done for veterans. The VFW and the American Legion in your backyard, for instance, they always accept donations, and people might not know, but those organizations, that VFW post or that American Legion post right down the road, they're out there to help. And one of their missions is to be able to have a little bit of money to help those veterans that are less fortunate. So that's another stop. But definitely volunteering and talking to different people to try to get involved in this. It's a situation that unfortunately is never going to go away.
How reliant is your organization on volunteers?
Very reliant. We are doing a renovation project in downtown Tacoma. We bought an old dilapidated building in the downtown. I used to run the Chamber of Commerce here for 9 years, so I know the value of property in the communities. And we came up with a concept where we wanted to buy a building in the downtown to help give back to the community, but also to build a concept that's an actual community in the downtown. Mm. And I say that because we have a coffee shop downstairs. We have a thrift store downstairs. And it's a thrift store that's open to the public, but we're able to give things to veterans in need. We don't charge veterans that are vetted, and we know that they're low income. We give them clothing. We give them kitchen utensils, furniture. And then upstairs, this has been the black hole of the project. We have 8 apartments we have completely renovated. Now, this building was built in the early 1900s, so you can imagine there was quite a bit of
rehab.
Renovation.
Yeah, exactly. Christopher Hansen stays with us. He's CEO of the Tacoma-based Veterans Assistance Foundation. We're exploring the housing component on helping at-risk veterans get their lives back on track. Your thoughts on veterans housing, 800-642-1234. Back after this news update. About a third of veterans who served after 2001 pay more than 30% of their income on housing. 30% of their income on housing, according to the National Housing Conference. Also, veterans are still more likely to struggle with homelessness than the overall population. We're learning about the challenges and the success stories in veteran housing and support services with Christopher Hansen. He's CEO of the Veterans Assistance Foundation based in Tomah. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What efforts would you like to see in place to reduce the number of homeless veterans? What programs are working in your community? How are they funded? Where are the grants coming from? What programs would you like to see replicated? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Ray now in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. First, I'd like to say I am totally against wars of any kind, but my father served in Korea. He always had a roof over his head because he had a good-paying union job here in Milwaukee. But I live on Milwaukee's east side, and I work downtown. And especially on a morning like this morning, where it's very, very cold out, I see homeless people everywhere, under bridges, sleeping on park benches, and even downtown, walking around with blankets, trying to stay warm by walking around. And I'm sure a lot of these people are veterans. And the guest said he thinks it's okay that the federal government shirk its responsibility. The federal government, the state government, and the local governments should make sure not a single vet that comes back from any of these mindless wars is ever without housing or food or mental health and health facilities open to them for free. They shouldn't be paying anything. They have paid their dues to this country, willing to give up their lives and limbs, and we can't take care of them? That we need private citizens to fund that? That is insane. We should all be...
Ray, and let's get Christopher here to comment here. There is a duty, Ray says, here, a duty for the federal, state, local governments to step in and take care of veterans.
Oh, and I completely agree. I think Ray might have misunderstood, or maybe I misstated. I'm not giving the government a free pass on taking care of people. What I'm saying is that it's not happening the way it should. They have many programs out there, but they're not covering everybody. And that's why I say that they're, you know, as a community, as human beings, it's our responsibility to take care of our veterans. Yes, I agree with Ray. I think the federal government and local governments should be the ones that step up for this. But it's not happening in the sense and in the manner that it should be. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, that's where it falls on us as human beings and citizens to take care of our veterans.
Ray, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Pete now in Eau Claire. Hi, Pete.
Hi there. I have to kind of agree with Ray from Milwaukee on the, you know, the government should be taking care of our people. But I also agree with the, and I didn't catch the gentleman's name from the VAF, that we need to take care of each other. And with that, I actually started a 501c3 a year ago next month after spending a couple of years volunteering at the Tomah VA. I run an organization called Sofas for Service, where we have taken it upon ourselves to collect used furniture. We do not accept used bedding, but we will buy new beds if we have money for them, for beds. And we actually have had a couple of referrals from the VAF and other organizations. Minnesota Action Council for Veterans is a big referral source. And as I said, we're only about a year old. We've served probably in the last year, I got to think of our numbers, it's 2 to 3 veterans a month. So probably somewhere in the order of 15 out of 20 veterans over the last year. I know last quarter we served 7 and bought 5 beds. I put 1,700 miles on my truck and lost a transmission, and unfortunately...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, unfortunately, because we are so small, all our transportation is coming out of my wife's and our pocket. But again, we feel that we need to take care of these folks. But there are, you know, there are people willing to help take care of each other, and again, to raise benefit, the government should. But we do have a responsibility to each other, and I guess with that, that's all I'll say, except that if anybody does... You know, my organization, Sofas for Service, we have a very limited Facebook page because I'm not real good at that stuff. But I could leave a phone number off air or on air if you think that's okay. We could always use donations and some muscle power donations of furniture and monitor support is hugely needed.
And Christopher, you probably know of this organization?
Yes, I have heard of the organization, and I know we have had some referrals, and we may even have some extra furniture for them.
That's excellent. You know, it's really such a grassroots, it sounds like, really a grassroots effort to get these nonprofit organizations started. And really it comes back to, it sounds like in Pete's case, just feeling the need to give back to veterans.
Oh, yes, it is. And our organization was founded by a former homeless vet in 1994. So we've been around well over 20 years. You see a lot of these organizations that are popping up because there is a vacuum of services provided by the federal or the local government. And we also have to keep in mind that our governments, the money they spend comes from our tax dollars. So they are limited to the things that they can do. And again, I'm not making excuses for anybody. It's incumbent on all of us to take care of our veterans, but the resources available through grants and or federal and state grants, that's a finite resource. So those need to be augmented with these other organizations.
And what are the challenges that the Tomah VA faces? Do you work with the Tomah VA?
We do work with the Tomah VA. They've had several issues lately that they have. As far as health care that's provided, they do an outstanding job for health care at the Tomah VA. But the VA system as a whole is going to see more and more veterans coming into the system. Yes, we are losing veterans every day that are passing away from old age. We are losing the greatest generation, World War II in Korea, but we are replacing them at record numbers from those that are coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and other hotspots around the world. So keep in mind, we have the resources with the VA system, but we're continually taxing that system.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for the call. And boy, keep your truck going and keeping up with a really fabulous service and collecting used furniture for veterans. Christopher, had to go to a news break when you were talking about the real estate issue for veterans and saying that, you know, you're looking at real estate and how you can make it affordable for veterans and what is happening there in Tomah.
Well, and then I'll kind of do a quick rundown. I know we're running up against the end of the hour here, but we did buy this building in downtown. We renovated the entire building downstairs, upstairs, and then I think I left off where we're still renovating the upstairs for the apartments, so we have 8 apartments up there. The intent is to create newer, modern, state-of-the-art apartments for veterans for a very low rent, much lower than what you'd expect for the market. But when you renovate old buildings, it gets very costly, and every time you tear down a new wall, you find something else that has to be done or fixed. So we're about $80,000 short of that project, but we're getting much closer to the end. And the intent for that project, once we get the $80,000 in donations in and we can push forward to finish that complex, it's going to be its own little community center. We have the coffee shop downstairs. We have the thrift store and the apartments upstairs. And those that live upstairs, they can congregate downstairs. They can meet with our case managers if they have some things they want to talk about. But it's very important this time of year to make sure that these projects are pushed forward. And the thing that we look at is we are a nonprofit. We are not out to make money on these projects. We can't legally. But we as a society kind of expect our for-profit landlords to be able to provide these homes and housing to veterans at a low cost, low rent. And it's tough to... I've been a Chamber of Commerce director, so I understand that it's tough to expect a business owner to take a loss, but they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart. So that's why it's important for nonprofit organizations like ours to do this and be able to provide this type of housing at a lower rent.
And it sounds like the housing you want to provide also has a built-in sense of community, a place where people can talk.
Correct. And that is the goal. And my goal is once we get that money in, we get the remainder of the financing secure and the building's complete and start moving folks in, you'll see come over the winter and early spring, you will see that sense of community where the veterans, and it will only be veterans living in there, but veterans and veteran families living in there in a safe, secure environment.
How optimistic are you about the future state and health of our veterans? As you said, there are more and more every day.
You know, it's very tough. I'm a veteran. I just came back from Afghanistan last year. I personally am battling a lot of health issues. I see how people, when they come back from wherever they've deployed to, you know, they do start experiencing some mental health issues. They may have seen things that you wouldn't expect a normal human being to have to see and digest. They've breathed air that is absolutely horrible. Kabul, Afghanistan, is the third worst air quality in the world. They've touched things. They've held things. They've experienced contact on their skin. You won't know the ramifications until 3, 5, 10 years down the line on all these people that come back. So I think it's a real wake-up call, and I've tried to stress that to our federal legislators that we work with, that, hey, this is an issue and it's not going away.
Well, Christopher, thank you so much for joining us.
You are very welcome. Thank you for the morning and allowing us to kind of further this issue and to explain to people that this is a serious concern and it does need public awareness, and we appreciate your show helping us get that out.
Christopher Hansen is CEO of the Veterans Assistance Foundation based in Toma. Earlier in the hour, we spoke with Jeff Gustin, the founder of Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin based in Racine. We've been learning about the developments in helping homeless and at-risk veterans find a place to call home. This hour of the morning show was produced by Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is a conversation you hear on the Ideas Network.